You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. It's safe to say that the space program in its growing up has also chilled out a little bit. From the Mercury astronauts' right stuff, we've got a plethora of space stories in a very, very different kind of culture than we had in the early days of rocketry in space, which were marked by the conflict in the Cold War. Today, the Soyuz Russian spacecraft is docked with the International Space Station. There's an American space tourist on board. And with the American space shuttle a little long in the tooth and due to retire in 2010, we decided we'd take a look at the space program, which, as it turns out, is very, very Russian-based. John Schwartz, reporter for The New York Times, author of a October 14th of Today article in the Science Times, In Russia, a Second Home for U.S. Astronauts. It's all cosmonauts, baby. Right, John?
Well, that's right. Once we shut down the American Space Shuttle program, if we want to get to the International Space Station, the Soyuz is the only ticket in town.
And the Soyuz launches from where, and how different is it from the Space Shuttle?
Well, there are a couple of things. The Soyuz is a small craft. It has three seats. The shuttle has seven. The Soyuz launches from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, and which is out in the middle, you know, purposely, of nowhere. And the shuttle launches from Florida. And the shuttle gets delayed if there's a little bit of wind, if there's a cloud cover, there are many, many reasons the shuttle can't launch. With the Soyuz, baby, when it's time to go, boom, it goes. It's as dependable as an AK-47 rifle.
Which is very, very dependable.
And it's Russian workmanship.
They even train at Star City, right?
That's exactly right. Our American astronauts go over to Star City, and they get trained in flying the Soyuz, coming down on the Soyuz, and living aboard the Russian part of the space station. They learn in Russian. They take tutorials. Their course materials are in Russian, though they get them translated. It is an immersion experience for our astronauts and staffers.
How different is the culture of the American astronaut program versus the Russian cosmonaut program? And we've got, you know, really two generations to look at here.
Well, they find, ultimately, that they've got a lot in common. But the two programs' orientation has been very different. The Russians emphasized long-duration space flight long before the Americans got around to it. And they really put people up there in space stations for a long time. They were going for endurance at a time when the American program was developing this sort of expedition, this sort of quick sortie shuttle orientation. And so we developed tremendous technical skills, but they developed survival skills. Mm-hmm.
Which are probably as important as the technical skills, thinking about the long missions that the U.S. at least has on the drawing board, whether they can actually pull them off or not, that's another question.
And that's why the partnership is so very important. That's why Russia and the United States have fruitfully worked together over the last 15 years, because look what each side has gotten out of it.
And why hasn't there been a tremendous amount of attention paid to that? It's not as if we've read that story over and over again, that American astronauts have been living in Star City. And how many astronauts are we talking about over those 15 years?
Well, I keep writing the stories. Why aren't you reading them?
I have read these stories. I didn't realize it was for so long, 15 years.
Yes, this is the problem that America has taken, Americans, the American audience, if you will, has taken its eye off the space program in a big way. We've been doing amazing things. The original Shuttle Mir program, where we took astronauts up to the Mir space station in the mid-90s, it was a tremendous adventure, but people only heard about it when things went wrong. When a Progress vehicle collided with the Mir space station, and things looked pretty hairy for a while.
I think you wrote a story for the Times about how bad it smelled inside the Mir.
Apparently just awful.
So the International Space Station has learned some lessons from the Mir. What are they principally, and where do you go from here in terms of a permanent space base in near-Earth orbit?
Well, first of all, they learned a lot about creating and maintaining equipment that lasts and in putting in the kind of safety procedures that mean you've got even more backup capability. So if something goes bad, you can repair it there, or have a spare on hand. And the space station is really well equipped for stuff like that. Even more important, But we've learned a lot. The American side has learned a tremendous amount about keeping an astronaut happy over a long-duration flight. It is lonely, even if you've got other people around. What if you don't get along with them? There are things like the third quarter phenomenon where people's attention and enthusiasm starts to lag two-thirds of the way or three-quarters of the way, two-thirds of the way through a long mission. And then you just have to deal with all of these psychological issues.
Are Russians better at that than Americans?
Russians have had more practice. Mm-hmm. But there's also sort of a suck-it-up attitude. You know,
by the Russians.
By the Russians. Really? So on the
and
one hand.
And that's so different from NASA?
NASA has developed a pretty supportive psychological regime to go with this. And
with the exception of certain women who wear diapers and ride on trips across
that was
the
after
country.
The flight.
Yeah,
that
I see.
Flight.
I see.
And
yeah.
can I speak up for Ringo for a second? Because he's cool, okay? I just got to stand up for Ringo.
Last question, John. Space tourism. Why do the Russians do it, and has it been successful? There's a space tourist up on the ship right
Richard
now.
Richard Garat's up there right now. He paid $30 million. This came out of the cash-strapped Russian space program when they were taking money wherever they could. And so, you know, the first one spent probably about $20 million. The price has been rising. It's cash money. And the Russians like that.
That's right.
Who doesn't?
Well, John Schwartz, thanks so much. Reporter for the New York Times, author of today's New York Times Science Times story, In Russia, A Second Home to U.S. Astronauts. And as Adora said, who knew? Thank you, John.
A pleasure.
And now headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thanks very much. Just coming up to 28 minutes past the hour.